she was the one standing there holding up the banner, the standard. Eunice is his mother, and her name means well won, or literally happy victory. And of course, both of these facts grew out of a sincere faith. But one thing we see that, you know, one thing about it, talk is cheap, but real faith is expensive, and it costs. It costs Timothy tears, and it costs us the same thing. People can get out and talk, but when it comes down to it, real faith is expensive, and it was dwelt in this. Verse 6, Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Timothy, he says, he put you in remembrance that you stir up. That word stir up means to rekindle into a flame. You rekindle up. You rekindle into a flame the gift that was given you, the gift of God. "I notice it which is put in thee by the putting on of my hands." But no doubt that Timothy, that when Timothy received the Holy Spirit, that is the gift he's talking about, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so no doubt that Paul laid hands on Timothy and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he says, you stir him up. And you ever wonder, how can I stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost? How can I stir up the Holy Spirit in me? And it's really, we can. And there's one thing, as we look back in John 14 and 15 and 16, we see what the ministry of the Holy Spirit was. It was to testify of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think if we would just start praising God and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying, that stirs the Holy Spirit up within us. How many times have we left, and, you know, when you start giving a testimony to someone about Jesus Christ, you can just feel that Spirit rekindle within us, you know, and that's how, when we're down blue, when there's tears, we can stir up the Holy Ghost by that simple method of praising God, testifying of Jesus, praising Him, the gift of fear. Now, one thing he goes on to hear, you stir up the gift of God, but he says in verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. In other words, we think of fear, and I think we've all had our conversation with the spirit of fear. I know I have. And we see here, fear has torment. We see that in 1 John 4:18. In other words, fear is satanic, too. It's from the other team, so to speak. It's from the Satan. Satan gives that spirit of fear. Fear here, it means timidity or cowardice. And, of course, no doubt when there's opposition here, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, you know, when people would giving opposition to our testimony or to our witness, that's the time we have it. Satan gives that a spirit of fear to shut us up, so to speak. But he says, Timothy, God hasn't given you that spirit of fear. But God has given us the spirit of power. And the word power here comes from the word dunamis. And it's where we get our word dynamite, they say. And really, dunamis was the most powerful word of Paul's day. It was the most powerful word of Paul's day. And in other words, God has given all the power needed to meet the suffering, the sorrow, the toil, the perplexity, everything that we're going to come in contact with. God has given us power that we can overcome that. And Timothy, God has given you that power, as He has all those that have received the gift of God. And again, God's gift. Nothing we earned, it's God's gift. And notice here, the next part of that spirit that God gives, and it's a spirit of love. And He's telling Timothy here, He said here, a love, and of course that's divine love. And we see in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. So we can see that spirit of love that God has given us. He's given us the ability to love one another. And He's telling Timothy that, Timothy, that same power, that spirit of power and of love is within you. God has given you that gift. Stir it up. That spirit, the spirit that you received years ago, had not changed. He hadn't moved out. He's just there, dwelling there. He never has failed you, and he neither would he fail you, or neither can he fail you tomorrow, Timothy. And so he's telling that. And another thing we read in 1 John 4:18, that perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, we rest in Christ's perfect love. So that love, God has given us the spirit of power and of love, and the next is a sound mind. The sound mind is a disciplined mind, or it's self-control, or wise of wise discretion. In other words, we have power for service, love for worship, and a sound mind to hold both in moderation. If God give us all that we need here, we have the power for that service, the love, and also the sound mind that keeps it, you know, hold both in moderation. If we would just, you know, God has that power and that love, and it should be operative in our life. And so we go on and tell Timothy's condition here in verse 8. Now, another one, I was going to bring this. The power operates through love and discretion, you know. Love flows out to others through the power of a sound mind. If we just had love, you know, that, you know, but God has given us a power and a sound mind that it'll flow out to others. And also it operates through discretion, you know, the power does. We don't just blow them away, so to speak, but it's with love. In verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he tells Timothy in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And we say that. I think here we see that all of Timothy's future usefulness depended upon Timothy's attitude right at this time. If he were ashamed of the Lord's testimony, how could he proclaim it? If he were ashamed of his father's imprisonment, that is, the Apostle Paul, how could he make his gospel his own? In other words, Timothy suffered the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And that means if he delivers or not to deliver, if he, whatever he chooses, God will give us the power. So you see, we see here that Timothy was had a Timothy, you know, he was ashamed. The cause for the tears. And why would it be cause for the, how could Timothy be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of me, or that is Paul, his prisoner? Now we know Paul was in prison at this time. And Paul never said, I'm the prisoner of Rome or the prisoner of Nero. He says, I'm his prisoner. I'm the Lord's prisoner. The Lord has me in this place. And no doubt that there was many at that time that were preachers out there at that time and telling Timothy, you mean you're trying to, you're still following the Apostle Paul? Well, he's in prison. You know, God's done with him. He's in jail. God delivers, you know. He don't set them. No, he's a God to deliver. He has earthquakes. He has everything he can do. And here, Paul's in prison. We hear people today say how Paul made a mistake, thus and thus, you know, that way. They blame. And so Timothy had this opposition, and there was a tendency to be ashamed of that testimony, to slack off and not to have that boldness of the Spirit. And so Paul is giving Timothy encouraging here. Don't be ashamed. You know, the natural inclination is get me out of here, you know. Well, you know, and we're in a trial like this. But Paul goes on, he says, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. In other words, that word partake means you suffer hardship in company with. You suffer right along. You partake them. In other words, to accept these afflictions when they come for the gospel's sake. Doesn't mean that God has forgot us or forsaken us, but we have suffered them for the gospel's sake. And notice it's according to the power of God. And that goes on, who saved us, that is God, who saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. In other words, we are saved and called according to God's purpose and his grace. God gives us the purpose, his purpose, and he gives the grace to accomplish that purpose. God has a purpose for each of our lives, and He gives us the grace for that, to fulfill that purpose. And He didn't call us according to our own works. You know, He didn't give any of us a calling for what we may or cannot do. But He has a purpose in our life. And that's the reason He's called us. And so we want to get into that. Now, one thing we see here, that one thing Paul gives to Timothy, he don't really tell Timothy and say, well, Timothy, just hang on a little longer, it's going to get better. He really doesn't say any, give him any hope that the battle's going to get any easier. He just tells him, hang on there. Don't be ashamed. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We go to verse 10. And notice in verse 9, notice His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, God's purpose and grace, God has a purpose for us. And that's in Christ Jesus, and it was given before the world began. When man fell back in the Garden of Eden, God didn't have to come up with a plan and say, oh no, what am I going to do? They just ate the forbidden fruit. Now we've got to go back to the drawing board, so to speak. No way. God knew it from the beginning, and He already professed and purposed that they would be a new creation in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus. And that was God's purpose that was given us. Now, it doesn't mean that God predestined one to be saved and one to this purpose, but He predestined that new creation, and we align ourselves to that as we believe in Him. We receive Christ as our Savior, and we align ourselves to His purpose. That's our responsibility to do that, as we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then we realize that. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul here says it is now made manifest. In other words, God's purpose is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's God's purpose. That was God's purpose in creating Adam and Eve back there many, many years ago. And we see also that, notice who has abolished death. That is, Jesus Christ, our Savior, has abolished death. In other words, there's no longer any fear or need to fear death. Why? Because Christ has abolished it. In other words, the word abolished means to render entirely idle, useless. In other words, we no longer should fear it, because when we die, we're going to be when this body, this physical body dies, we go to be with the Lord, the believer does. And notice He's brought life and immortality to light. And how did He do that? By the gospel. It's through the gospel. And notice here, that gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle. And Paul says, that through the gospel, that gospel whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle. Notice, and Paul tells us here, in other words, Paul tells us here that Paul was not responsible for his calling or his commission. That's what is exactly what he's telling us here. God called him according to His purpose and His commission. In the same way, Paul refused to be responsible for his suffering and imprisonment. Because he says here, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. In other words, it was because of his calling, because of his apostleship, that he was now in prison. And he's suffering these things. And he refused to be responsible. That was God's responsibility, he was saying. You know, God, I'm in your purpose and I am in your calling. And so now it's God's purpose to take care of me. And that Paul knew that. He walked that same rule for many years. And he says, "Never, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." He says, "I'm not ashamed of my chain. I'm not ashamed that I'm in this prison. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul says, and we've sang that song, there's a song like that, and it's And Paul says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have trusted. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that. He's the one that's reading. He has the responsibility. And he's good. He is faithful. And what did Paul say? What had Paul committed to him? And I think that has to be the church. That he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In Acts 20, verse 32, Paul talks there to the church at Ephesus. And he says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He told the elders there that. And so the church is committed over to God's responsibility to keep the church and to that day of the Lord. Verse 13, Paul goes on. He says, hold fast the form or the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned against away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So Paul here, and he says, hold fast the pattern or the form of sound words, and which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You hold it fast, Timothy. It's a pattern. It's a sketch. It's for imitation. And it's sound words. Verse 14, that good thing which thou hast committed unto thee, and that has to be the gospel. It was committed unto Timothy, and notice here, keep. You keep it by the power of the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Keep the gospel. It's deposited into our account. And that's what Timothy, he wrote to Timothy over here in Acts chapter 1, in 1 Timothy rather, chapter 3, verse 15 and or 16. And we see that the living God, the God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And of course, the gospel has been committed unto the church. And Timothy, you keep it. And this thou knowest in verse 15, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, here, all of Asia. And listen, this refers to religious leaders here. These are not just common, ordinary people, but these were people that were preaching the gospel. These were people that were leaders in the church, elders supposedly, and had a place of responsibility, and they had forsook Paul. Well, that doesn't mean it means they forsook Paul's message, what he was preaching, the whole gospel, as we say. And, of course, in Asia. Now, that word Asia, it means slime. And it speaks, again, of the building materials of religiosity, we might say. The world today is very religious, and it was in Paul's day. But we don't see much of the gospel out there in this religious world. Why don't we take a short break? Okay, well, we'll go back. So here Paul writes in verse 15, I missed this, I want to bring this up too, that, in other words, again, all have forsaken Paul in Asia, and of course that again refers to the religious leaders, and of course he names two of them, and one of them, of course, is Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now Phygellus means, his name means a little fugitive, and I don't know, we might say, well, these could be those that see themselves not really too bad, or maybe a little self-righteous, or a little fugitive. Hermogenes, his name means lucky born. That tells us, you know, that he could talk of those that were in the natural, they were fortunate or well off. It would talk a little bit about, those that are well off in this world's good. I think of one thing Brother Copper said, fugitive counts himself lucky, and lucky becomes a fugitive. So, probably that's true, because neither one expressed the grace of God. It's not by chance. God's blessings are, we don't receive God's blessings because we're lucky or lucky born. We receive God's blessings because of His grace. And we're no longer a little fugitive. We are called in the saints and the household of God. But anyhow, one thing we see about these, I don't believe there were a minute they stopped preaching, but they turned away from the gospel. In other words, they preached a more popular gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17 tells about some there when Paul was in prison that they preached to add affliction to Paul's bonds. They were some out of contention preaching the gospel. Now in verse 16, he says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he besought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the Lord in that day, and in how many things he reministered unto me in Ephesus." At Ephesus I know it very well. So Onesiphorus here, and of course he is a good refreshing as we close out here on this chapter because of the negative in verses 14 and 15. Now we see that there were some that, such as Onesiphorus, they're prophet bringers, what his name means, and it speaks of representative of those who heed the gospel. And of course they bring a profit not only to themselves but unto others. And he often refreshed Paul also and was not ashamed that Paul was under bonds or in prison. But he sought Paul out, it says here, and found me. And I think that's representative of those today, that if they would but seek out the gospel, they'll find it. They will, and God, they'll find it. We're to contend for the faith that was once delivered. And it does refresh Paul when those that do. And notice, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the Lord in that day. And that's speaking of the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes. And it goes on. So that would conclude that chapter, I believe. And is there any comments or questions on that so far as we've come in? Well, we can go into the second chapter of 2 Timothy here. And